Lesson 4. The Mechanics of Preaching. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should 1. Learn and practice the steps for preparing sermons. 2. Learn and practice the process of outlining a sermon. 3. Learn and practice the process of finding appropriate illustrations for a sermon. 4. Learn to keep good records of sermons. Introduction. In Lesson 1, we saw that God is a communicator, and God uses human communication to accomplish his purposes. In Lesson 3, we saw that God has chosen the folly of what we preach to save those who believe, 1 Corinthians 1:21. In the book of Acts, we see that God worked through the preaching of men like Peter, Stephen, and Paul to reach the world with the gospel. Preaching is important. We who are called to preach are responsible to preach with as much effectiveness as possible. While power in preaching ultimately comes from the Holy Spirit's anointing, we must prepare to the best of our ability. A preacher should have the goal of being a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Preaching is a skill that can be developed. Like other skills, preaching uses certain tools and techniques. In the following pages, we will study processes for preparing, presenting, and preserving sermons. Our diligence does not replace the power of the Holy Spirit. However, it prepares us to be used by Him. First, preparation for sermons. Make notes. When you know that you will preach on a specific verse or subject, begin to write down any ideas that come to your mind, such as questions, related scriptures, observations, quotations, applications, illustrations, stories, or anything else that comes to your mind. Write these ideas down as you think of them, with no attempt to organize them. You will organize your ideas later, but for now, get the ideas written down as quickly and completely as possible. Write the theme. The theme is a one-sentence summary of what you want to say in the sermon. The theme helps you focus on what you want to accomplish with the sermon. If you do not have a specific goal, you are not likely to accomplish very much. Write down several possible themes. Keep writing until you find the best fit for your sermon. Once you have decided on the theme, everything else in the sermon must be connected to that theme. Every point and subpoint, every illustration, and every point of application must relate in some way to the theme. As you prepare the sermon, you may need to revise the theme so that it better expresses the emphasis of your material. The theme may be repeated many times through the sermon. At the end of every major point, and sometimes even in the middle of the points, you restate the theme. If you have properly developed the sermon, the theme will relate to each section of the sermon. Use the theme. Begin writing outline points. Outline points should help explain the theme. Every good outline will have 2 to 5 points, so keep writing down points that could become points in your outline. By now, you may have written several pages of information. This information may or may not go into the final sermon, but the notes will stimulate your creativity as you prepare the sermon. Write a simple outline for the sermon. The outline must be based on the theme. Every point and subpoint of the outline must be based on the theme you have chosen for the sermon. This helps focus the mind of the congregation on the primary message you want to communicate. Read Psalm 146 and then study this outline for a sermon titled Praise the Lord. The theme of this expository sermon is praise for the Lord. Notice that all 4 major points are related to the theme of praise to the Lord. If you are preaching on praising the Lord, it would be inappropriate to throw in a point on the importance of baptism. Each point of the outline must be based on the theme of the sermon. Example of an outline for an expository sermon. Title: Praise the Lord. Text: Psalm 146. First, we praise God for who He is. 146, 1 to 5. A. He is Yahweh. 146, 2, A. B. He is Elohim, 146:2b. C. He is the God of Jacob, 146:5. Second, we praise God for what he has done, 146:6a. A. God made the heaven. B. God made the earth. C. God made the sea. D. God made everything else. Third, we praise God for what he is doing, 146:9. A. He preserves the truth, 146:6b. B. He executes judgment for the oppressed, 146:7a. C. He gives food to the hungry, 146:7b. D. He loosens the prisoners, 146:7c. E. He gives physical healing, 146:8a. F. He encourages the discouraged, 146:8b. G. He loves the righteous, 146:8c. H. He helps the needy, 146:9a. I. He makes it difficult for the wicked, 146:9. Fourth, we praise God for what he will do, 146:10. A. What will God do? The Lord will reign forever. B. What should be our response? Praise the Lord. The outline must have parallel thoughts. A common mistake for preachers is to prepare outlines that are not parallel. This makes it more difficult for the listeners to follow the thought of the sermon. Look at this sermon outline titled Jesus Christ, an Understanding High Priest, based on Hebrews 8. Example of an outline that is not parallel. Title: Jesus Christ, an Understanding High Priest. Text: Hebrews 8. First, the priesthood in Israel's worship. A. Three anointed offices in Israel. 1. The king. 2. The prophet. 3. The priest. B. Ministries of the priest in worship in Israel. 2. Jesus, a perfect high priest. A. Jesus, a God-made high priest. B. Jesus, a perfect sacrifice. C. Jesus went directly to God's presence in heaven, the eternal tabernacle. 3. Jesus, the perfect mediator. A. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. B. He has perfect understanding of man and can faithfully represent man before God. There are two problems with this outline. 1. The second and third major points are parallel with each other, but they are not parallel with the first point. 2. Under the second general point, there are three sub-points. The first two are parallel. They have Jesus with a colon after the word and then a description of Jesus. However, the third point is a complete sentence. Compare this sermon with the previous sermon, Praise the Lord. You will see that the earlier sermon is easier to follow. 1. Each major point begins with the phrase, We praise God for. 2. The sub-points are parallel with each other. The first set begins with the phrase, He is. The second set has the phrase, God made. The third set has He with a present tense action verb like, He preserves and He executes. There are many benefits of writing a clear outline based on the theme of your sermon. 1. Outlining gives structure to your sermon. An outline is an organization plan. 2. Outlining keeps your focus on the main theme. Without a good outline to guide you, it is easy to stray from the topic. However, a strong outline that is built on the theme will keep the sermon focused. 3. Outlining helps the listener understand and remember the sermon. Though they may not see the outline, they will sense the organization. A good outline helps the hearer to remember the sermon longer because the outline reinforces the theme. If we make it easy to remember the message of the sermon, God can speak the truth to the listeners during the days after we preach. A good outline takes extra work, but it is worth it in the end. This is part of the hard work of being a workman who has no need to be ashamed. Fortunately, the longer you work on it, the easier it becomes. Writing the sermon. Write an extended outline for the sermon. An extended outline expands the outline that you started with. The extended outline uses complete sentences but organizes thoughts in an outline format rather than a paragraph format. An extended outline is easy to use in the pulpit. When you have the points, subpoints, and other details organized under the point they are supporting, it is easy to see the point and subpoints that need to be made. Write out the introduction. You should write out your introduction completely. The introduction is the first thing the audience will hear. If you do not capture the attention of the audience in the first few moments, you may not have an opportunity to get their attention later. Even if you do not write out your entire sermon, it is good to write out the introduction because it is such a crucial part of the sermon. The introduction of your sermon will usually include the following general items. 1. Text from Scripture. 2. Opening remarks. Sometimes this comes before the text. 3. Theme. You should write out the theme you plan to use in the sermon. Sometimes you may tell the audience the theme in the introduction. Other times you might state it later. However, the theme should stand out in your outline to remind you of what you want to talk about. 4. Background information. Here you should give background details that the audience will need to know to understand the sermon. This may include background details of the scripture. It may include personal things, such as the way you came to this particular text. It may be a statement about the meeting at which you are speaking, especially if you have been assigned a topic or text. Expand your original outline with more details. In this step, you add further details to your original outline. In an extended outline format, you use complete sentences that show every important point in your sermon. The following is an appropriate lettering and numbering scheme for outlining points and subpoints. Extended outline format. First, major outline point. A. Major point. 1. Subpoint. A. Details. 1. Additional details. A. Additional thoughts. First, more thoughts. Second, more thoughts. B. Additional thoughts. 2. Additional details. B. Details. Second subpoint. B. Major point. Second major outline point. Find appropriate illustrations. One of the biggest differences between a good sermon and a poor sermon is the way they are illustrated. Charles Spurgeon said, "The sermon is the house. The illustrations are the windows that let the light in. Illustrations let light in and make the room more comfortable. A house without windows can be a depressing place. Stories have many advantages in a sermon. 1. Stories create interest. People will often listen carefully when you are telling a story. 2. Stories increase understanding. People will often understand your sermon better as a result of a good story. 3. Stories aid application. A good story helps your listener understand how to apply the lessons of the sermon in his or her own life. 4. Stories increase memory. A listener will remember a story long after they have forgotten the sermon outline. A well-chosen story illustrates the sermon's message clearly so that when a listener remembers the story, it reminds them of the theme of the sermon. 5. Stories are a natural teaching technique. People are accustomed to hearing stories and will respond positively to them. The best preachers and teachers are those who can tell good stories. It would be very hard to find a person who does not like to hear a good story. Jesus was the master user of stories and illustrations. He told stories from history, stories from everyday life, and traditional stories that were well known in his day. He also used word pictures from all walks of life to help his listeners understand his message. Why did Jesus tell so many stories? Because he is the creator and understands our nature. He understands that we learn best through stories. You should work hard at collecting good illustrations and stories and putting them into your sermons. It is good to write the stories out completely, so you know exactly how you will tell the story in the pulpit. Even if you do not often repeat sermons, you can tell some stories repeatedly. If you develop a good story that illustrates a certain point, there is no reason not to use the story to illustrate the same point in a different sermon, especially to a different audience. If you do happen to repeat a good story, no one will get up and walk out. In fact, some children like to hear certain evangelists preach because they repeatedly tell the same wonderful stories. We are willing to hear songs sung repeatedly. Most people are willing to hear stories told again. There is always the danger of a preacher simply trying to entertain with his stories. Entertainment is not a proper reason to use stories in sermons. However, stories are very helpful for keeping the attention of your congregation and for making the points of your sermon clear. The longer the sermon, the more helpful it is to have good stories. Once you start to tell a story, those who are asleep will wake up. Those who have been thinking about other things will refocus their attention on what you are saying, and those who have been listening will be happy for the change. Here are a few suggestions for preparing and telling stories. 1. Practice your stories. This is especially important if you are not a good storyteller. 2. Make the story as realistic as possible. Do not talk about person 1 and person 2. Give real names and describe the story as realistically as possible, even if you have to change the name or circumstance to preserve confidentiality. 3. Try to keep some element of surprise in the story. Never say, "I am going to tell you a funny story." It is best not to tell anything about the story in advance. 4. Use first-person stories. These are stories of things that happened to you or about which you have personal knowledge. These stories are told with first-person pronouns like I, me, and we. These are the most effective stories you can tell. 5. Don't give excessive details. Details should make the story interesting, but should not confuse the point. If you stop to explain insignificant details of a story, it will detract from the main point of the story. The point of the story is important, not the extra, unrelated details. 6. Choose words your audience will understand. Don't use words that are unfamiliar to your audience because of their environment or lack of education. 7. Do not tell borrowed stories as if the experiences happened to you. There is nothing wrong with borrowing stories from others. However, some people borrow a story that happened to someone else and tell it as if it happened to them. If your audience later finds out that this incident did not actually happen to you, it might shake their confidence in other things that you said. Learn to be a good storyteller. A rule that every pastor should follow is this: never preach a sermon without telling a story. If you want to work on only one part of your preaching during the next year, work on presenting good illustrations. Your people will notice the difference immediately. If you learn to use stories effectively in your sermons, you will be changed from an average preacher to a good preacher, or from a good preacher to a great preacher. Write out your sermon completely. Writing out your entire sermon is a lot of work. If you are preaching every week, you may not be able to do this for every sermon. However, you will find that writing out an entire sermon is a good way to discipline yourself and to improve your sermons. There are many reasons why a person should write out sermons completely. Writing helps concentration. Our minds tend to stray when we study. Writing helps to focus our attention. When you are studying, it is helpful to force yourself to write a note about every verse or phrase, or even every word you are studying. The concentration of looking for things to write will force you to think. Thinking will produce insights that you have not seen before. The process of writing down thoughts produces more thoughts. Writing helps you see truth you would not otherwise see. If you force yourself to write something about every verse you are studying, you will look until you see something to write. It may be something you have never seen before. If you force yourself to write down 10 things about a particular verse, it is amazing what you will learn. The Puritans were known for their ability to see a lot of truth in just a few verses of Scripture. They got this information because they spent time meditating on biblical passages and writing down their thoughts. A Puritan pastor, Thomas Boston, wrote an entire book on one verse in Ecclesiastes. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? Ecclesiastes 7:13. Think how much time he must have spent thinking about this verse and writing down his thoughts. Writing helps you organize your thoughts. When we are studying, we want to capture every thought that comes into our minds by writing it down. Our recorded thoughts become the raw material we use to build our sermon. Later, we organize these recorded thoughts and put them into the sermon. The process of writing the sermon will force us to think about those facts long enough to put them in logical order. Writing out the entire sermon requires and enables us to organize our thoughts. Writing preserves a permanent record of what God is teaching you. Psalm 137, 4-6, urges readers to remember God's blessings. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy, God does not want us to forget the blessings that he has given us. None of us have a perfect memory. However, if we write things down, we will have a record of what God teaches us through our study of his word. When God sought a method to preserve truth from one generation to another, he chose to have it written in a book. A court writes down things as a written record that preserves the opinion of the court. Physicians write down the diagnosis they give to patients. Architects write down their plans for buildings and other structures. Is it unusual to expect preachers to write down what God gives them so they will have access to these same truths in the future? Writing gives you a useful tool to help other people. There will always be hurting people who need your help. If you have been faithful to write down the lessons God has taught you, this material can be useful in at least three ways. 1. You can refresh your own memory about what God has taught you. 2. You may want to share your sermon by making copies available to other people. Frequently, people ask the course author for a written copy of one of his sermons. He has shared written sermons with hundreds of people. He has received many positive reports from those who have received help from one of the sermons. 3. Writing is useful for future sermons, articles, or books. Nearly every book starts with miscellaneous notes. There are few people who simply sit down and write a book from start to finish. Collecting your notes from sermons can be the beginning of a larger work. Keeping records of sermons. If you go to a doctor, he will do a diagnosis and treat you. After that, he will make notes about what he has diagnosed and treated. When you go back to that doctor, he has a record of your medical history. Lawyers do the same thing. They keep good records about their work. God's work is even more important than those secular jobs. It is important that preachers learn to keep good records. Preachers should create a system for keeping records and filing their sermons. Here are some suggestions for filing and keeping records. File your sermons properly. There are several ways to file sermons. You can file according to text, according to topic, or according to date. It is also possible to do a combination of these methods. Example of sermon file organization. Old Testament. Sermons from the Pentateuch. Sermons from the historical books. Sermons from the wisdom books. Sermons from Psalms. Sermons from prophets. New Testament. sermons from the Gospels, sermons from Acts, sermons from Paul, sermons from the general epistles, topical sermons, missionary sermons, leadership sermons, biographical sermons, evangelistic sermons. Keep records of your preaching. This should include the date, topic or title, text, and other details. The course author keeps all of his old sermons in file folders or saved on a computer. He keeps his current sermons in a big notebook. Conclusion. Communication is both an art and a science. It is both a gift from God and the result of hard work by man. The Bible says, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required." Luke 12:48. God has given preachers many precious truths. We should apply ourselves in the best possible way to share these good things. Take very seriously your responsibility to prepare effective sermons. Preaching follows the rule of the harvest. If you prepare and plant the seed well, the harvest will be great. If you fail to prepare and plant the seed, you cannot expect a good harvest. Prepare the soil of your heart well. Plant the truths of God's word in your sermons. You will reap the reward of successful preaching.